This is Karen Musgrave, and I'm conducting a Quilters SOS Save Our Stories interview with Michelle Owens. Today's date is July 20th, 2009. It is now 11:47, and we are in the Ohio Reformatory for Women. And Michelle, I really want to thank you for taking time out of your day to do this with me. So let's start off by telling me why you're here.
I am charged with complicity and conspiracy to 2 counts of attempted murder, 3 arsons, 3 burglaries, and a theft. They say I supposedly knew about some crimes that happened and didn't say anything to anybody, but not necessarily the case.
So tell me about your quilt, the cross.
I don't draw by nature. That's not my given gift or my given talent. But when I got into county jail, and I wasn't saved beforehand, and I got saved in county jail, and it was fall, and as Easter came around, I just had this vision of a cross, and I mean, this was a vision that was in my head, and I would draw it. And lots of people said, oh, I want one, make one for my daughter, make one for my husband, and I stopped drawing it. And then when I came to ORW, and we were told about this through the chaplain, and I just knew I wanted to be part of it because my job here is community service. And I make quilts and blankets and cross-stitch and crochet and knit. And I thought, wow, this is an opportunity that I can make something, and it would be really, really something spiritual, because we don't get that opportunity because there's so many denominations and some people that don't believe in my regular job. And I said, wow, this is something where I can tie my 2 loves together now, quilting and express my faith. And I was really excited about it. And I said, I know exactly what I want to do. I know exactly what I want to do. And I had gone through Kairos, which is a spiritual walk. And I knew that there was a song that had inspired me. And it's called I Looked Up. And I'm like, how am I going to incorporate these? At first, I was going to quilt in the words to the song, and that was going to be the quilting. And then I said, no, I'm going to go ahead and do another cross, and so that's why it's two-sided. And it means a lot to me. It really, really means a lot to me. The more I started to think about it, the more it just unfolded. You know, I went from a basic drawing, and the more it just unfolded. I mean, when you do research and you study and you realize, I mean, God is just faithful to unfold things. I mean, it's like an onion. The more layers you pull off, the more layers you realize are underneath. So, and it just brought me to tears. And I was just so grateful that I had a deeper understanding, and I just felt drawn a lot closer.
So tell me about the techniques, how you put it together.
Well, I hand-dyed the original. This is just a basic sheet, and I hand-dyed it. I didn't know what I was going to do. I mean, it's all trial and error. It really is. And so I took yellow first and took yellow paint and just dissolved it in a bucket and just dipped the whole thing down and just started. Then I added a little bit of red, and it changed it, and I dipped it again. And it took me like 2 attempts, 2 different pieces of sheet to dye it. But, yeah, I hand-dyed it at my job, and then I was going to do the cross, I was going to do different colors of browns and actually do what looked like wood, but it didn't turn out the way that I wanted it to, so I thought, well, I can just stitch the lines into it. So I used the machine and stitch it, and just started coming together. It just started coming together, and I saw the lady that presented her quilts when this first started and how she did all of her different colors. So I just kind of started looking. Things just kind of spoke to me. Material talks to me. People look, unless you're a quilter, you don't understand how material talks to you. But material just started talking to me, and I'm like, oh, I can do this, and I can do that. And I just saw the different colors and the hills, and I learned how to do curves in doing this. And I said, well, how am I going to do the vines and things like that? And I'm like, well, I'll just applique it on. And I didn't want a lot of this stitching, like what's in the hills and everything. So I thought, well, I can just, you know, I hand-stitched a lot of it. And a lot of stuff just became applique. And I'm like, well, how am I going to quilt it? Once I started doing the 2 separate pieces, I realized that they didn't really line up the way I wanted it to. So I ended up quilting the angels in around it. So it applies to both sides.
So how many angels are on here?
I believe 12.
And why did you choose 12?
The disciples, the 12 disciples. that watched over. I mean, it's just, and it's like they're just kind of in awe. And I wanted to, I liked how this had, this is actually, the banner is woven through. It's not just stuck on it. I did weave it through to get the effect of it hanging. And it just, it really, really meant a lot. And then the more I started working on it, and the, I didn't have any intentions of putting butterflies or anything like that on it. In the original picture that I drew, there were no butterflies on it. There were the three birds, one for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Spirit. But the butterflies came later because it's kind of a representative of my walk here at ORW because it's been a struggle. Anyone, I mean, it, a lot of prisoners, it is a metamorphosis here. Even though I'm here because of something that I didn't do, crimes that I didn't commit, I'm so grateful and so thankful for every day that I've had here because it's really been a learning experience. It's been a growing experience. There are things that I never would have taken the time to understand about myself had I not come here. It's hard sometimes to get into groups here because there are so many women, but there's a lot of sit down and look at yourself time. There's a lot of, I believe God sends us through tests. And it's a no-fail test. You can't fail it. He gives you the option to walk away from it, but he will always bring you back around lovingly to the test, and he will continue to put you through the test until you pass it. And I'm grateful for that. I've lost a lot of things coming here. I mean, a lot of it's materialistic things, and who cares, it can be replaced. But I've lost contact with my kids. I haven't been able to see or talk to my kids in 5.5 years. I was married to my second husband when I first got here. He's my co-defendant. And loved him with a unconditional love. And unfortunately, I've come to find in this last year that he does not love me in the same manner. So I've watched the death of my marriage come. My husband has, he's incarcerated, and he has gotten into a relationship in prison and has every, I just recently found out, has every intention of filing judicial release this year and leaving and going to Columbus to be with his love interest. And so I've right now mourning the death of my marriage and the loss of my husband. And it's like being a widow. You know, on the upside, I've been blessed to find out that I can file judicial release. And I'm looking to do that if it's God's will. And I just have a lot of things that I want to do. And just, I sat and cried because I didn't know what to say. And I thought, well, God's going to work it out. And he's going to tell me what to say. And I just sat and cried like all day yesterday. And it just came to me. It just came pouring out. And I was so grateful that I have a better understanding. And that, you know, so many times we want to give up. Our flesh will give up, but God is faithful to never give up on us. And this reminds me that no matter what I go through, no matter what choices I choose to make, God is faithful, that he went so far. They say no greater love is there than to lay down your life for your brother. Well, that's what he did.
Let's talk about the back.
Okay.
Since it is a two-sided quilt.
Right.
So tell me about this.
It was a song that touched me in Kairos. And it talks about Jesus, you know, the key thing for me is I looked up. I didn't look across, I looked up. For me, it reminds me to continue to keep my eyes focused on the Lord and that he will come for us. And there's two scriptures on there. They're both kind of similar, but it talks about the women. Jesus was a lover of women, and he broke traditional belief systems. And I believe that one of the first disciples was, or apostles, was a woman, because he appeared to a woman first at the grave. And there are those that, I mean, so he broke a lot of traditional Jewish belief systems. And it reminds me that I'm important to him.
So how did you feel about your quilt being at Sacred Threads?
I was so excited. I really, really was. And then to be asked to be interviewed, and I mean, that is an honor and a blessing. It really, really was. Because, you know, myself, I struggle with self-esteem and self-worth issues. so to have someone say, we really like this and it really moved me and we want to talk to you about it, that was just like, wow, really, me? Seriously? And they're like, yeah, we want to talk to you about it. So it was a blessing. It really, really was, and I appreciate that so much.
So what was your favorite part about making the quilt?
I think watching something that started out as an idea or as a vision on paper come to life. And it seemed like the more I worked on it and I thought it was done, the more I realized, it's not done yet. It's not done yet. And just to watch it come alive and to see something that started as a labor of love that I made with my own hands come to life, that I can do something that will touch someone else. A lady that I live with who is also in Sacred Threads says her friend went and saw the exhibition. And she said, you know, you would think that people would be in there talking and it would just be a big social event. And she said, you went in, the lady said she went in and she could just feel the peacefulness of it. She said it was just like dead quiet, almost like being in a church, the reverence of what's there. And she said there were some beautiful quilts, and just to see that how God moves in people's lives in different ways and how he's touching people and the expressiveness, be able to express yourself. And I've seen some of the ladies' quilts that have done them here, and it's just like, wow. So many different firms, many people that are involved, that's how many different ways that God is moving in their lives and has moved them. And it's just like, wow. It just goes to show that he is an omnipresent God.
So what have been some of your favorites?
I haven't seen too many of them. I got asked to finish one lady's quilt, and it was very interesting. It was painted. It was her son's painting, and I thought that was kind of interesting. It was on the front, and in the back was a lion and two fish, and that was kind of interesting.
And you hand quilted it?
I quilted some of the places on it. I didn't really take away because it wasn't finished. I didn't want to take away from it, so I just kind of tack quilted it. But it was a beautiful painting and drawings, and just to see the different media that people use and expression and stuff. And I think the one lady did a quilt, and it's hearts, and it goes out, and she talks about all the different things that she wants to do, and she's a really awesome lady, and to see her work done. She's been quilting for like 30 years, so I knew something spectacular was going to come out of it. And another lady, she's very eclectic in her tastes, and to see her quilt come together and through how she expressed herself was really, really amazing.
Now, you had to write an essay about your piece. How was that process for you? Tell me about it.
Doing the essay was actually another part of how I got deeper understanding of what it meant, and I'm just like, okay, I have to sit and think about it. And as I sat and looked at it and pondered over it, more things just came and came and came, and I'm like, okay, we have to wrangle this. It can't be 20 pages long. We've got to wrangle this. But it helped me understand myself a little bit more. I think that, I think it's like reading a scripture. You can read a scripture and 6 months later read it again and it means something different. So, it's true that the word is alive, and it grows and it changes, and as I grow and change. So I think I'm going to get something. I originally wrote one essay, turned it into the chaplain, and it got misplaced. And I didn't keep a copy of it. And so the chaplain said, I have some bad news. I'm going to need you to rewrite your essay. And I said, I won't be able to rewrite it. And she's like, why not? And I said, because I didn't keep an original. So I know what was important then needed to be for then, but what was important the second time came out the second time. So it was just really getting with myself and just, you know, being thankful, like I said, grateful and thankful, and just seeing it in a new way. And even now, seeing this now, even though I did it, it's like seeing it in another way. It's like, oh, wow, you know, paying a little more attention to details. I'm hoping, I didn't do a lot of quilting on it this time, but I think when I go home, or when it comes back to my possession again, I'm going to do some more quilting on it.
Oh, yeah, what are you going to add?
I think I might do, like, sun rays coming out. I think that would be very nice. I may do the grass, you know, I don't know yet. I'll know when I sit down with needle and material in hand. I think I'll know then. I didn't want to do too much to take away from it, but I think a little more, I may go around the angels.
So you like quilting?
I do. I do. I love it. That's my job here. I can't do anything for my children, but I can do something for someone else's children.
What do you think your children would think of your quilt?
I think they'll kind of look at me like, Mom, that's kind of cool. I know they're boys. Boys aren't necessarily inspired. Not that they're not emotional, but, you know. I hope my kids will get a chance to see it sometime. I think that'd be awesome. I was really excited about it, and I think this is something that I may want to look into when I go home to be involved. How can I be involved in it, you know, on the streets, or support it? No, not necessarily submit a piece, but how can I support it? Just like Kairos, I'm excited about when I go home, how can I support, be involved in Kairos? I'm encouraged to support expression, personal expression, because it's never wrong. Personal expression, there's no form or fashion other than no smaller than this, no bigger than that.
Now, did you have any size restrictions? Were you given any size restrictions for your quilt?
I believe it was no smaller than 24 by 24, no larger than 46 by 46.
Okay.
So.
That's a pretty good range, though.
Yes. Yes.
And you decided to go big.
Yes. It just worked out that way. I didn't have, I'm a behind the scenes kind of person. I like to do things behind the scenes and be unknown and quiet. And God's like, no, we're going to pull you out of that box. No. Because like I said, I did a whole big sheet, 25 sheets.
I think that's awesome.
And had to go like, okay, there's a spot there. No, we can't use that. There's a stain here. And when I cut it out, it was like 48 inches. And I'm like, well, Lord, am I supposed to cut it? Yeah. So it worked out well. It really worked out well. Like I said, it was a blessing to be able to express, because here we have to conform to so many things. You know, we dress alike, we eat the same foods, so to be able to express in such a manner was a real blessing. There were things involved that I did not have in me. Like, okay.
So what advice would you give somebody making their first quilt?
Be encouraged that what you feel is not wrong. You don't have to follow form or fashion. Don't be afraid to express yourself. Because so many times in life we're told, no, that's not right. No, that doesn't conform. It's a nonconformist idea. Expression is a good thing. There's sometimes you can express things in media, using different medias, that you can't say out of your mouth. And just, be sensitive to what the Spirit's telling you. And go with it, that it's okay. It's okay. You'd be surprised what will come out.
I think that's good advice. I really do. What do you think makes a great quilt?
Self. Self. Texture. I guess it depends on what makes you happy. I had one of my favorite quilts that I made for my job, I made with flannels. And it was just amazing, the goodness that came out of it. And everybody, I mean, it wasn't anything spectacular. It was just different plaids, reds and blues and greens. And I liked it because there was no wrong way to do it. It was just simple squares. And I just sewed, I cut them all out, threw them into a box, mixed them all up, and then as I drew them out and sewed them together, that's what it was. But it was texture. There was something familiar about flannel. It was something soft. It allowed me to have a rememory. I thought fondly of my children, fondly of my first husband. He wore flannels all the time. And it struck a nerve. Like with this quilt, there are many textures here. There's cottons and there's paints and the banner is a different texture. The crown of thorns is, it's a solid crown of thorns. I mean, if I could put thorns on it, I would have. for effect. And there's muted colors and there's sparkles and it's just expression. It's about expression. So, yeah, just You know, there's no wrong answer. That's what I like most about it, is there's no wrong answer. Whatever you feel, do.
I like the dimensionality of it.
Yeah. That I thought about that too, about, you know, how do I almost stuffed the banner to make it really pop up, but then I thought, when it hangs, it hangs. And I would stitch a piece, tack it with a pin, and then hang it and go, okay, let's look at this, and then lay it down, okay, let's stitch it. No, let's take that out to get the effect. I didn't want it to look flat.
So how long did you work on the quilt?
It was about, I'd say about a month, month and a half, off and on, outside of my job. I got permission from my boss to be able to come down in the evenings and work on it. So she was very supportive.
Very nice.
Very supportive of it. And she said, I want to see it when you're all done.
And what did she think of it?
She liked it. She really, really did. I had two different bosses. One came and left, and the other one came in. And she was like, yeah, it's kind of cool. Very interesting to do.
So what do you think if a person looking at this would think about you?
I would hope that they would see that I'm a very spiritual person, that I'm passionate about my beliefs, that I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed to stand up and say I'm a Christian and you know, that I believe and that I follow. And I would hope that people that see it and would either meet me or know me would feel the same way. There's a lot of women that come to prison and they get jailhouse religion. And my mom, even in the very beginning, said, oh, well, honey, this is probably just a phase that you're going through. And, you know, we'll see what happens. I'm like, Mom, phases don't last almost 6 years. I'm sold out. I'm sold out and I'm committed. If I've never been committed to anything more in my life, I'm committed to my belief system. And sometimes it changes as I mature and change. It changes a little bit, you know, as I go deeper and get a better understanding and wisdom and knowledge. Some things do change, but it's still the same one faith, one God, one baptism that will never be shaken. So I'm hoping that people will understand how passionate I am, and that I try to keep my spirituality in the forefront, first and foremost in my life. In the past, before I was saved, it was worldly and fleshly things and selfishness. And now I have a deeper understanding that I'm nothing and nobody, and I'm okay with that. That God is first and foremost in my life. And if it's not about Him, it's not going to be in my life.
So what will your next quilt look like? One that you could create out of you.
I don't know. I honestly don't know. Like I said, when this opportunity came up, it came to me. It came to me very quickly, and I had a couple other ideas, but this one just kept pounding in my mind. I don't draw, so if I could, it'd be great because I have pictures in my mind's eye that I'd like to be able to draw, but I don't. So it's like, well, Lord, I consider doing footprints in the sand, one like that. But that's already somebody else's idea. I didn't want to copy someone else's idea. I consider doing From the Pit to Glory, a woman down in a pit, because I've been in a pit of despair and doom, and you know, I consider doing clouds and thunderstorms and things like that, but with a hand reaching down and just a little girl reaching up. I consider doing that. For whatever reason, I have been drawn to wolves, and I considered doing a quilt and quilting wolves in the clouds. So I don't know yet. There's a lot of ideas, but I'll know when the time comes.
So do you write them down, or you just keep them in your head?
I pretty much keep them in my head, because I'll lose it if I write it down. I mean, as it comes. I may do one about my gifts and my callings. I don't know yet.
Very good. Very, very good. Well, is there anything else you'd like to share that we haven't touched upon?
Just to encourage people to be true to themselves, it's okay to be different and unique, to stand alone. So many times we feel a need to conform, and we don't have to, that it's okay to express yourself and be different and to be okay to stand alone. That's about it.
Well, thank you so much for doing this interview with me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for coming.
And we're going to conclude our interview at 12:15.